immediately thought of Miles O'Toole.
Well, I do know why I thought of that. That's not even his name. Who was that guy in Cena? Miles? Which part of that guy's name was real? Was it the Miles part or the O'Toole part?
There was that Miles O'Brien.
Miles O'Brien. How much O'Brien?
Miles.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right. Don't mean to get the show started on a silly foot. It's 1 minute and 13 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious, studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Tuesday, and welcome to Day 12. We appreciate your radio presence and your patronage and your so forth and your hey, and your what have you and your... It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-970. If you'd like to be part of today's program in a telephonic sense, and... Oh, I've got to move everything about 6 inches forward. Hold on.
Keyboard,
monitor, phone, mouse. Yeah. All right. Anywho, if you'd like to call us today, it's 503-7. As a bonus, the phones work today. So you got that going for you. Regardless of whatever else happens in today's program, doesn't matter, the actual content of the calls today could be completely tedious. It doesn't matter, but it'll sound fantastic. Not like a Steely Dan record. Completely pointless content, brilliantly recorded and engineered. It's exactly how this show could be today. We don't know. Anything can happen. We'll know until we dive right in. Get in there and roll around in it. Not unlike a co-ed in a big vat of jelly. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you'd like to engage with us electronically in a series of zeros and ones. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. So it wasn't Anderson Cooper who had been molested. It was Anderson Cooper interviewing somebody who'd, and it was a CNN headline news. I didn't even know headline news still existed. I thought the headline news was one of those things that I haven't paid any attention to since, what's her name? Who's it? Who did the thing? It's going to be one of those days. I can already tell.
You feeling a little crazy today?
I'm feeling a little crazy. You see, in my head, everything's just sort of an amorphous blur. Lynn Russell, that's who I'm thinking of. Boy, that dates me right there. There's a whole generation of guys that have lust for Lynn Russell to this day. Lynn Russell, former headline anchoress, or whatever you call it, anchorette, from Headline News. She could be 100 years old and covered in aphids, and I would still find her hot. She was, and she was a kickboxer, and I'm pretty sure she's a cop and licensed bounty hunter. I should ask Ed McCarthy if he's ever met her. Next time we talk to Ed McCarthy, which will... Not me today. We talk to Ed McCarthy next time. I'm going to ask him if he's ever met Lynn Russell. I think she was based in Atlanta. All right. Well, in any event, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. More show than is legally allowed today. We never got to the What Makes the Red Man Red song yesterday, which Sarah didn't know and Tim didn't know and I didn't know, but apparently it's much beloved and it's from some... Like all hideously racist things, it's from a Disney cartoon that came out about 50 years ago. Apparently it's from Peter Pan. I don't really remember the kids in Peter Pan singing a racist song about Indians. But you know what? There's a whole lot of stuff that happens in cartoons. I don't really remember Jessica Rabbit showing her crotch, but apparently that happens too. So, you know, it's a big world out there. In any event, you know... The number of guys out there that had bizarrely perverse thoughts about Jessica Rabbit is, in fact, a little stunning when you think about it. Clyde will bear me out on this. You talk to, I'm not saying I'm one of them, but I'm saying you talk to Clyde. Clyde, depending on how drunk he is, if you get Clyde, I don't mean to be off on Clyde again today because it's Tuesday, but if you get Clyde really drunk, he will alternately confess to either A, being really, really aroused by RuPaul, or B, having had many, many unchaste and impure thoughts about Jessica Rabbit, who is, in fact, I'm not even sure if Jessica Rabbit is human. Jessica Rabbit, well, she must be human because she's got bosoms and human legs and human face. And yet she's having sex with
what
presumably.
Is wrong with you?
I was just thinking about this just now. That presumably
she's human because she has human breasts.
Well, that's what makes you human, not just that, but the rest of you. You have, you know, that's what makes you human. I sound like Spock. That's what makes you human. Yet presumably Jessica Rabbit is having sex with Roger Rabbit, or does, or did, at some point in time. It's a little weird. What do you think about it? Maybe I'm not the last guy in the world to think about this. Maybe this has occurred to everybody but me. Fat Boy's probably thought about this. Maybe everybody else in the world has already pondered this, but what sort of sex did Jessica Rabbit and Roger Rabbit have? Or do they even have sex? Do we even know that they have biblical relations? They don't have children together. I don't think. There's just that that baby Sherman bastard, or whatever the hell his name was. Well, I'll have to look into this later. Don't call me about it now. Don't call. You can email him if you like. Don't call about it. It's 503-73... Scotty, that's a terrible thing to say about Jessica Rabbit. Scotty is typing on the screen that I won't use the entire phrase. He is describing Jessica Rabbit. Think about how disturbing this is. I'm going to read the most disturbing thing you will hear all day. And it's not from this pile of complaints to the FCC about the Super Bowl show, which I'm also going to get to. Somebody sent us, a sharp-eyed listener sent us this from the Smoking Gun. Here's the most disturbing sentence you're going to hear all day on the Rick Emerson Show. While I was talking about Jessica Rabbit from the 1989 film Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Scotty J. typed on the screen, I can't use the entire phrase on the air, but he said, Jessica Rabbit is a blank tease. So, just think about that. Think about the mind that comes up with that
comment.
That's
what he writes to you?
That's what he wrote on the screen about Jessica Rabbit. Who, by the way, is not real, Scotty. She's made up. Doesn't really exist. Two-dimensional. And I don't mean figuratively speaking. I mean, she's literally two-dimensional. She's a cartoon. And so forth. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Tuesday. Thanks for coming by. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Among the items to be addressed on today's program, what did make the red man red? Blue hairs get their dried up knickers in a twist over the Super Bowl. We've got that. Britney Spears starts laying the blame. We have a corpse watch, and the only reason the corpse watch is really interesting, really, all things considered, it's a run-of-the-mill corpse watch, really, on any other week. Any other week, any other month, it's a corpse watch I wouldn't even spend all that much time on. Because, like, how many times can you talk about some guy finding a head? But I do believe it has to do with a human skull. And given the fact that those wonderful listeners from last week brought me a human skull, which is now sitting on my desk, by the way. Sitting on my desk. One of the teeth fell out, though, and I had to put that to jam it back in. One of the teeth, that human skull that the listeners brought me last week, named George.
Just going to preface everything with human today?
It's a human skull. One of the teeth fell out, and I had to stick it back in with some whiteout. I didn't have any glue, so I put some whiteout on it, jammed it back into the tooth socket, and there it stayed. Anyways, we have a corpse watch today involving a skull. We have a list of the top 10 video games of all time, the 10 most important video games of all time, which is wrong, by the way. It's wrong. It's wrong in like 100 different ways, which I know is difficult for a list of only 10 things, but that's how wrong it is. Let's see. And is time travel possible? Scientists have the answer. It's not. And we may get to the top five today as well. I was going to say that we were going to talk to Steve Kastenbaum at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's not going to happen, though, because CNN is run by a bunch of bastards who don't care about us. CNN is run by people to whom stations west of the Mississippi just don't matter. It's not that we don't even exist. We're not even on the radar. It doesn't matter. It's not like there are, radio markets in the West that matter. It's not like there's Portland or Seattle or Los Angeles. Doesn't matter. No, apparently doesn't matter at all. So Steve Kastenbaum, who was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction last night, will not be on the show to talk about that today. He will not talk about Van Halen, R.E.M., Grandmaster Flash, Patti Smith, and the Ronettes. In no way will he be on to talk about this today. In no way, shape, matter, manner, function, or form will he be on today's program. That's okay. Not going to carry a grudge about it. We'll talk to Jim Roop about, there's some nutcase group of people in Berkeley that are trying to get Donald Rumsfeld brought up in war crimes. Not going to happen. It'd be entertaining if it did. Not going to happen, though. Lisa Goddard talks about we got this whole thing about where's this idiot, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is all concerned about people catching the gay. So we'll talk to her about that. What else? Well, there you go. That's kind of it. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff, but really, what would be the point? It's 503-733-2970. 970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Are you really doing well?
I am.
Okay. You seem spunky today.
I rode my bike today.
Me too.
I feel a lot better.
Me too. And I didn't want to because I was running late, but I said to myself, by God, it's time to just be a man about it. And so I left the house, and I made the vow that even if it was raining, that no matter what I did, no matter what the weather was like today, that I was going to bicycle in, and I feel fantastic. So I don't feel fantastic. I feel sweaty. That's how I feel. I feel, and it's
did you
like,
bring a change of clothes, or did you bike in those?
No, I can't do that because I sweat a lot. I mean, I sweat just a whole bunch. And it's that thing where, like, when you're bicycling in, like, you don't notice the sweat because you're getting the breeze, and so the sweat evaporates as you're bicycling. But then as soon as you stop, and suddenly it's like you're just a wet, it's like you're a loofah. And then I'm sitting there, and people come in, anybody who would just come into my office like 8:30 in the morning after I, because I sweat for like a good, I know this is disgusting, but I sweat for like a good 20 minutes after I'm done bicycling. I mean, I will get here around 8:20. Yeah, I'll get here around 8:20, and at 8:40, I am still sweating. And so I'm already changed, I'm already sitting at my desk trying to get some work done. If you come, would come in, I am just dripping, just liquid oozing from every pore in my body as I'm sitting behind the desk. Leaving actual sweat handprints on the desk as I try to work. It's just revolting, and there's no way around it. And my clothes are all wrinkly because no matter how well I iron, I know this is a girly concern, but no matter how much starch I put in my clothing, you jam it into your bike bag, or even if you fold it carefully, and then you get here and you look like something the cat threw up. I'm not going to worry about it. And then none of that would be... Never mind. I'm done for now. Tim Riley is working on the following story for your edification, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, a terrible person shoots at the cops and then takes off in Southeast last night.
Oh, man.
Viacom sues YouTube for $1 billion.
YouTube. Thank you.
The Democrats keep backing down, even though the public wants us out of Iraq by next year. And from Vegas comes word the Star of Dust is now just dust.
I'm sorry, what?
The Stardust is now just dust.
Fantastic. There you go. All right, there's Tim Riley. It's 503-733, and I see that you're here on time today. You were not ensconced in a shiny metal tube downtown for like half an hour.
No, that didn't happen today.
So this is what happened to me yesterday. So I get this call from Tim. Oh, is it like 10 after? When was it?
It was probably 10 after.
So I get this call from Tim, and he's like, so I'm stuck in the mess, and they won't let me out. I'm trapped inside the train, and they're not going to let me out at all. Because I guess it was... So was it... I don't understand what happened with the MAX. Was it that the doors were jammed?
The MAX lost power.
And so
when they lose power, they hit open the doors.
Oh, that sounds like hell.
So it's pretty much your best experience ever, because not only are you on the MAX, not only are you on a train filled with hideous mouth-breathing, stinky lunatics, but then you can't get off. So you actually can't move forward. You can't get anywhere, and they won't open the door and let you out.
That's correct. Apparently, they can't open the door, or so they say.
And then, of course, once they announce that,
I'm sorry, apparently we have lost power. We ask you to just remain in your seats, and we will try to resume power as soon as possible. Nothing to worry about, and sit tight, and we'll try to get you out of here as soon as possible. Thank you.
And so what happens? You can't get off, and immediately you start becoming hyper-aware of everybody surrounding you and how they're just covered in filth and stupid. And then probably I would imagine that they all then pick up their cell phones at exactly the same moment, and everyone around you begins placing all of their business calls for the day. So you're just on a train full of jabbering idiots. It just makes you want to set yourself on fire. All right. 503-733-2 970. You can also email us if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. This is Kara on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hello.
Why, hello. How can I help you, Kara?
I just want to congratulate you and Tim and Sarah and your feeder fish, Scotty, on 1 year of bringing laughter, discussions of firearms, and severed penises back to my workday.
It's what we do. That's right. It was a year ago today that the Rick Emerson Show resumed its broadcast after an unfortunate hiatus.
Yes, don't ever let it happen again.
I'll get right on that. What did you refer to Scotty as?
Your feeder fish.
What is a feeder fish?
There's a little thing that, like, swim under whales that catch whatever crap comes out of the whale's mouth.
Like those... That's a terrible thing to say. Like those birds that walk around inside the mouths of alligators, pecking the crap out from between their teeth.
Yes, and you know, people love the bird, but, you know, if one just gets caught between the jaws, yeah, it's okay.
Okay. That's Kara's assessment, by the way, Scotty. We hold you...
I love you, Scotty.
Yes, we... I'm sure you do. We hold you in the highest of regard, Scotty. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And this is, I don't want to be all maudlin and get bogged down in the glory of us today, but it was 1 year ago today that after an unfortunate and really, and one of many, it really seems like we get fired more than we ought to. After our latest hiatus that we were... Davis Hiatus in the Flagon with the Dragon. Last year, on the 13th, we came back after being fired by the good and right-thinking people over at Entercom, for whom that worked out badly. And it is only through the fierce devotion and loyalty of the Rick Emerson audience and the Coffee Cup Crusade and all of that that we're even back here. So thanks to all y'all. It does not go unappreciated.
Giant woo-hoo resonated through Portland.
Yes, indeed it did. Thank you, Kara. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Spread the word. There you go. Fantastic.
Man, that right. First day back, that was when Mark Baumgarten was here, too, right?
From the Willamette. That's right. I completely forgot about that. So, yeah.
We had him in. Oh, yeah, that was really nerve-wracking.
It is weird, and I didn't think anything was going to work. Well, nothing really did work. It was really just our mouths.
The microphones worked. That's all that mattered.
The only thing that functioned properly that day. All right, let's see. We've got emails coming in about Jessica Remino. Here's anniversary stuff. Let's see. Rick, you should know that Jessica and Roger Rabbit don't have love in the biblical sense. They have... Oh, I forgot about this. They have patty cake. I completely forgot about that. That's right. They play patty cake. That's what they do instead of having sex. I'm sorry.
What?
No, it's true, because there's that moment in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I completely forgot about that. There's that moment in Who Framed Roger Rabbit when Roger catches. Jessica Rabbit playing patty cake, with somebody else, with whoever it was, with one of the criminals or whatever. So, all right, I'm sorry, I forgot, it's my fault for forgetting about that. All right, before we go any further, I'm just going to get a couple things out of the way right here, which is to say that, did I mention we're not going to be having Steve Kastenbaum? We will not be having Steve Kastenbaum. We will be talking to Lisa Goddard. Dennis Pritzenbarger is going to be here later on. And I'm also going to say this. I apologize if my voice is extra nasal or if my voice sounds scratchy or weird or, you know, scrapy or anything during today's program. I don't know whether it's like a hay fever thing or an allergy thing or whether, like, Max has just been out there rolling around in ragweed. But we heard that thing last year where 2006 was the worst allergy season in 10 years. And I don't know whether it's just me or whether it's like anecdotal, but it does seem like this year is setting to be even worse. Because it's like I go, if I walk outdoors for even 10 seconds the last week or so, it's like my eyes immediately just start to swell shut. And I get and the worst thing about having an allergy attack or getting any sort of watery eyes is because, like, you just... Like, you, what do you immediately want to do? Your eyes, and I know it's happening to you too right now.
I know, I'm just scratching my eyes right now.
You can't do that. That's the worst part.
They're so itchy.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. If you rub your eyes and suddenly they're just going to be, and they're just going to be closed, and you're just going to be walking around with a white stick, you won't be able to see anything at all.
Because I woke up this morning and I didn't feel that bad, but I looked at myself in the mirror. It's terrible. Yeah, my eyes are both, like, really red and sneezing.
It's just
bad.
The worst. And I got, like, the runny nose and everything. And I haven't had allergies since I was probably 13 or 14. Like, I went through my teenage years, and it's like I left my allergies behind, largely because I moved away from Kennewick, which is, you know, an entire filled town where, like, the major crops are, like, dust and pollen and, you know, whatever. And I haven't had those until last year. And last year, like, the allergies came back in full force. It's like they've been laying in wait for me for 15 years. And it's already starting again. It was so bad that I went to Safeway last night, which is a chore in and of itself, by the way, because my neighborhood was filled with police cruisers looking for an armed maniac. Tim will have more about this later, but I got about...
Are you kidding?
No, about... Of course I'm not kidding. Why would I have to make up crime in Southeast Portland? About 6 o'clock last night, I get a text message from my friend Nate, who works at KJIP, Nate Baker. And he's like, hey, by FYI, armed gunmen on the loose in your neighborhood. And the best thing is, I got it, never thought he was kidding, immediately and instinctively knew it wasn't a joke, knew that he wasn't trying to be wacky about it. And so what do? I go to whatever, K2.com, whatever the hell the website is. Some guy, 39th and Holgate. I guess he gets pulled over by the cops. And Tim will have the whole story, I think, in a bit. But he gets pulled over by the cops for some moving violation, like he's got a taillight burned out or whatever. And what do? When you get pulled over by the cops? You find your license and your registration, and you hand it over. And, you know, the cops either let you go, or they give you a ticket, or they handcuff you or whatever. This guy doesn't really reach for the license so much as he just pulls out a gun and begins shooting at the police. And I can joke about it because I don't think he hit anybody. I don't think anybody was injured. I may be wrong about that. But I don't think anybody was injured. But he's like, yeah, hold on, let me just get my license out of the... And then, like, out comes the gun. And I think he just got out of the car and ran. I mean, if you live in Southeast Portland, maybe you know, maybe you're privy to what exactly how this all went down.
At 6 o'clock?
It happened at 6 o'clock, but here's the thing. So it happened at 6 o'clock, and Nate's like, don't try to get home, because, you know, and I don't say exactly where I live, but I live very near 39th and Holgate. I mean, it's not too far. I mean, you can see 39th and Holgate, that intersection, from my house. And so that's like 6 o'clock, and Nate's like, don't try to get home, because that entire section of Southeast is all cordoned off. There's police, there's whatever. But it's like, I got to get home to feed the dog, and I got this crap I got to do. So I drive home, and sure enough, man, there are just cops everywhere. My entire neighborhood is just crawling with police. And fortunately, I'm able to go down a side road and get to my house. And I'm unsure about whether he took refuge in the Trader Joe's or
whatever. Oh, man, are you kidding?
There is no, because I got a message. I got a text message from Chris Sneathan later, and he's like, the hell is going on at Trader Joe's? I'm trying to buy some ice cream, or whatever it is. You know, he's trying to, I can't get it. What the hell? And I text message back, and I'm like, armed robber. You know, stay inside. Keep on the lookout. And he text messages, and this is the sort of Southeast Portland attitude. He text messages me and says, what's up at Trader Joe's? This is last night. And I text message back, and I say, armed robber on the loose. You know, look out. And he text message like, oh, okay, fine. We'll go to 7-Eleven. And that's it. He just sort of rolled off his back. Doesn't matter. I then came back to work late last night to get some stuff done, and I went back home at midnight. I rolled back into Southeast Portland around 12:15 last night, and the cops, this is 6 hours later, the cops still, because I could see it with the naked eye, the cops still had all of those streets blocked off. So it was a full 6 hours last night that there was apparently a guy with some sort of a gun roaming my neighborhood. I mean, Lara called me one point. She's like, what's up? I'm like, well, I'm out walking the dog. And, oh, there's a guy with a gun within. It's a weird feeling to be standing out there on the street. You're walking your dog to know that there's a guy with a gun somewhere, like within a mile of you somewhere, who's already taken a shot at a few different. Am I going to not take the dog out? It's a strange thing that somewhere there is a guy, maybe within earshot, who's just walking around with a gun, looking to shoot somebody.
That's exactly how I felt with the Belmont shooting, because you know how close I live right near that area.
Yeah, it was completely unnerving. So that's Southeast Portland last night. Let's get this, and we'll probably have to take a break. This is, I always have to clarify that this is not George and Wilson, right? Okay, George, hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Hey, I'm just cracking up because that place hasn't changed. I went to Franklin High School back in like 81, 82, and that sounds like the same old stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason I called was I changed my time. You know, I'm getting back to the daylight savings time thing.
Oh, people were hoping we'd get back to that. People were hoping we'd talk about that every day.
I apologize. Uh-huh. Anyway, hey, I changed all my clocks back the night before.
Yeah.
And my VCR that my wife got from a friend of hers, it changed itself. It changed itself.
You know, the great thing is, and please don't take any disrespect to this, this is a really dumb story, but you've made it suspenseful just by putting long, pregnant pauses between the words.
I'm sorry.
All right. I don't really believe you are sorry. But so your VCR changed on its own?
Yes.
The end. Okay.
And
well, maybe.
How in the hell would my VCR know that they decided to change, go from 3 weeks, you know, earlier than what?
How old is the VCR? Is this a new VCR?
No, I don't know. It might be a couple of years old.
Okay, but this is, so it's not like, This isn't some superhuman VCR that you just bought from Steve Jobs.
That was what I was going to say. Like the Twilight Zone. If I took it out and coiled it up and put it in the garbage, and I got up the next morning and it was sitting on my TV.
Is this really stuff you think about?
No.
I'm sorry. We're losing your call, George.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Thanks.
He sounded so sad.
Thanks so much. Yeah, he sounded sad and also drunk. All right. 503-733-29... See, now, what are these people suddenly calling about? Oh, this, you know what this is going to be? This is going to be a whole bank of people who had appliances that changed themselves mysteriously. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard around the corner. Later on, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbacher, and more. Don't go anywhere. Well, all right, then. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Let's see. This email says, Rick, happy one-year anniversary. Thank you for, thank you, Tim, Sarah, and Scotty, for the best show on the radio in Portland. You always bring great stories and hilarity, or hilarity, as the case may be, to my otherwise tedious day at work. With all the nut job, with all the nut job left and right shows in the dial, you bring reality and sanity to the people. How depressing. That it is up to us to somehow bring balance and sanity to Portland. What a sad commentary that is in the radio dial. I have lived in the USA for 4 years now. Oh, this explains it. And I've never found a talk radio station that is not either politically motivated or crazy in some manner. Well, okay.
What? Crazy?
Keep up the... And this, Mark the Brit, you know, for a Brit, there's just a whole lot of weird syntax going on in this email, Mark, but God bless you anyway. Anyway, that's a Mark the Brit. Rick, speaking of Tim's experience on the TriMet, here's a conversation that I got to hear going home on the Belmont bus yesterday. Gentleman number one says, hey, I'm heading to my parole meeting. Gentleman number two says, yeah, I remember parole. These guys were also passing French bread back and forth and dripping the butter from it all over the pants of a woman lucky enough to be sitting between them. Fantastic. I guess it still beats bicycling to work and being disgustingly sweat-drenched.
I think I might have been on the same bus as that person.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's it is just a whole slice of life. It's just like a human petri dish.
I had a stinky drunk man like leaning on me. Like he sat down, there were all these chairs, and he sat down next to me and like full on leaned on me, basically put his head on my shoulder as I'm sitting. I'm just trying not, I just didn't look at him like.
Because you have a maternal vibe. You know, the great thing about being homeless, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was driving along, and it's like, do you ever do this where you're driving, and it's not like I'm a reckless driver, but I'm driving and I'm heading like toward a crosswalk or whatever, and like, I have the light. Like, it's not the yellow walk sign. It's not even the flashing red hand. It's like the hand that says, like, keep your ass on the other side. Like, don't cross. And I'm driving through the intersection at a normal rate of speed, and in defiance of the red hand, like some 20-something homeless jackhole just walks in front of my car, and I started thinking about it, and he just totally had that, it was totally, his attitude just exuded like a lot of F.U., where he just walked in front of my car, walked, just completely jaywalking in front of me, and I know this makes me sound like a really tight-ass white person from the suburbs, but he was completely in defiance of all traffic regulations. He was jaywalking in front of my car. And you could tell that he just had utter complete contempt for me. He just loathed me with everything inside his filth-covered homeless body. But then I realized that there's a certain kind of empowerment that he has. There is a certain kind of power that comes from just being an abjectly poverty-stricken homeless person, where you just don't have to care about anything. It's like if you're really, really rich, you don't have to care about anybody. And if you're really, really poor, you don't have to care about anybody. Like my dad always told me about the two kinds of cars you never want to hit. You never want to hit a really bad car, and you never want to hit a Mercedes. You hit somebody in the middle, you know, your company talks to their company, everything works itself out. A guy, you want to be careful of people in really, really bad, old, beat-up box cars, because they don't care who they hit. They don't have any insurance anyway. They're probably on the lam from some sort of work release program anyway. Same thing, you don't want to hit some guy in a BMW, because he'll end up owning everything that you have. So it is with the homeless guy crossing the street. All right, we'll get to Lisa Goddard in just 1 second here. Let's get Greg. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick.
Hi, Greg.
Okay, so the stoner guy that called in earlier couldn't figure out how his VCR reset itself.
I swear to Christ, are we still talking about daylight saving? It's Tuesday.
I know, but it's fun and exciting.
Is that what it is? Okay, go ahead.
So Public Broadcasting actually broadcasts a sync program, a frequency that certain VCRs will tie into and reset themselves. So I found that out by having a VCR that did that.
I don't understand. So so this is like NBC or CBS or whatever, they broadcast something that tells your VCR what to do?
OPB, actually. Public Broadcasting, like, you know, OPB.
So they send... I don't understand. So how does it get from, like, OPB to your VCR?
It's a low frequency that you... that's embedded in the frequency that OPB broadcasts.
Now, does this only work with VCRs? Does this work with DVD players?
If your DVD player has a TV tuner on it, usually they don't. VCRs usually do because you could record off of TV.
My question is really, who has a VCR at this point?
Well, yeah, that's true. I have one, but it's only for really old porn.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, you can back that stuff up on DVD now.
Yeah, that's true, but then you got to take it into the place, and they got to, you know.
No, dude, you get. Well, yes. Well, yes. Let's not have this discussion.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And we're done. Okay. Let's just forget that whole conversation happened. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Let's now welcome from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent with immune system back again in place and with a thing and some other stuff. I'm just mangling this whole intro. Lisa Goddard from The Hill. Hello there.
Hey, hello there.
Oh, you sound fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean scratchy.
Thank you very much.
It's okay. It's all right. You know, your journalistic wherewithal will shine through despite your depleted vocal ability for today. Are you feeling decent? Are you feeling, on the classic 1 to 10 scale, where would you rank your health and your feeling today?
Woozy. Wherever the woozy plane is, I'd say the cough medicine really lasted.
What kind of cough medication are you on right now? Because we here in the West, we are deprived of many things, including the correspondence from Steve Kastenbaum, who will not be joining us today to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because apparently, in the view of CNN, stations that are on the West Coast don't really matter.
Oh, that's not true.
I'm just saying it's
late. I think that's why he's probably gone.
It's rock and roll on this of all stories. Don't you think that sleep should go by the wayside?
I would think that. That's why I'm here for you today.
I'm just saying, in fact, in my assessment, really, if Rick Emerson were running the show, I'm saying when it comes to Steve Kastenbaum, who is, it seems like, a man's man from the borough of Brooklyn, where you grow up hard and so forth, it seems like he ought to be covering the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction from some sort of a sleazy hotel room filled with cheap call girls and mounds of cocaine. I would put that into the budget if I were running things there, but that's okay. Don't worry about it.
You've got my vote.
What?
Seriously.
You sound really stoned.
I am a little bit. But I was just trying to figure out, like, do I really want to be in a cheap hotel room with cocaine and a lot of call girls? And I decided, no, I don't.
I wouldn't. Well, I was saying really more for Steve than for you, but I mean...
Get that, exactly. I was going to jump on board that train, but I was like,
eh. Well, I suppose the next time Marion Barry's in the news, I'm sorry, that's a cheap
exactly.
joke.
Exactly. It's weird, the U.S. Appeals Court last week reversed the decision, saying that now, in their opinion, D.C. residents should be allowed to own handguns.
I did see that, actually, and I wanted to ask you about that because I know you live in a neighborhood where the odds are like 1 and 2 that you're going to be hit with a pipe on the way home.
Right.
Now, would you, if you are allowed to own a gun, would you want to?
I got
to
get a piece. You know what? No, I don't think so. I think if I was in that line of work, if I was in the mugging business, I would get one.
Well, it seems like if you live there, you're in the getting mugged business. So that you are sort of in the business. You're on the supply side of that particular economic equation.
I just can't see that helping me out so much. Yeah. You know, I can't see someone. They've got, let's say they have a gun on me, and then just a second, you know, I just don't see how that would help me.
The key is just to walk around with your gun in your hand, pointed, sticking out from you, and with a crazy look on your face, and then randomly just saying things like, get away from me! You know, for no real reason, even when no one's around. That's what I would recommend to him. What kind of cold medication are you taking today?
You know, I think it's NyQuil. I think I went full-on grape-flavored.
Is this NyQuil or is this DayQuil?
No, it was NyQuil.
Yeah, you've chosen poorly. When did you take that?
Well, it was actually really late last night, 2 in the morning.
Oh, no. Sister, you can't...
And I'm still kind of feeling it.
Yeah, you can't... No, as I always say, there's a reason why the TV commercials for NyQuil show people taking it in bed.
Right.
And the clock on the... There's always a clock on the side table that says, like, 5 p.m. Because if you take that... First of all, if you take it in the kitchen, you're going to wake up in the kitchen. Second of all, I mean, not that DayQuil is much better, and I know that we're getting off the point here, but the DayQuil, it's not that DayQuil doesn't make you drowsy. It does. It's just packed full of amphetamines. So as much as you want to go to sleep, you just can't. So NyQuil is really, really heavy-duty medication. Can you guys still get stuff with some pseudoephedrine in it?
You gotta go, it's behind the counter.
See, first they came for the pseudoephedrine, and I did not stand up, because first they moved the pseudoephedrine behind the counter here. Now, in Oregon, you may not purchase any product with pseudoephedrine without a prescription. You now need a doctor's to get, like, Sudafed, to get, like, regular,
wow.
I'm talking straight, regular, over-the-counter Sudafed.
Wow.
You have to get a prescription now. So that's coming. I'm surprised they haven't done that in D.C. You guys have probably got a meth problem there.
I would imagine. I don't know. Because the stuff that I had last night, I'm sure we bought last year before
that
went into effect.
I was, like all Americans, I have a closet, like a whole cupboard that's just full of medication. I don't even remember what half of it does anymore. Like, I'll look at it. And do you ever do this? Do you ever find a bottle of medication in your cupboard and it's got a name on it that's not yours? And it's not the person you live with, and you don't really know where it came from. It's made out to, like, Myron Schenkelbaum. And you're like, well, what is this drug? Well, maybe I'll take it. You know, and so I was going through sorting out the cupboard, and I found all of this cold medication that has pseudoephedrine. And so, man, I am guarding that like it's the treasure of the Sierra Madre. I'm not going to let that out of my sight. All right. Well, in any event, I know you're probably... Oh, now I feel bad. Now I feel bad for making you talk to it sound like you're on your deathbed.
I've been trying to turn down my mic when I cough, but I that one happened too fast.
Do you have a cough button? Apparently not.
I don't have a cough. There's a cough button? You guys have such a thing?
Do you not? Seriously, you don't have a cough button?
No, I don't even know what this is.
A cough button? I'm astounded by this.
We are very low tech.
A cough button is it's like a mute button. You press it, and it just momentarily mutes the microphone. Here, I will demonstrate right now.
Okay.
I will hit the cough button on and off really quickly, and what it does is it just mutes your microphone momentarily in case you need to. That way, no one hears it.
Wow.
So,
it really is super momentary. It's not very long at all.
It's
got to be a fast cough.
Can I just say this? That I want to talk to you every day when you're stoned, because you find even my most pedantic and rudimentary observations to be fascinating.
I am fascinated.
I'm going to make it a directive to Tyler that you got to get loaded every day before you call us, because you're going to be, it should be the best segment ever, every day. All right. I swear to God, I'll let you talk about news here.
Okay.
Let's talk about this nutcase. Is it Peter Pace? Is that his name? This guy for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs?
Were you just going for the rhyme there? Peter Pace and nutcase?
I know, but that is, it's an unfortunate rhyme. I really try not to rhyme too much on the show.
He is the chairman of our Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he actually is very well regarded in military circles and in Washington.
And in the John Birch Society, probably.
I don't know about that, but maybe.
What is it? So did somebody ask him about the don't ask, don't tell policy, or did he just decide, like, you know, the time was right just to spout off about it?
Spout it out, right. No, he was in an interview with the Chicago Tribune about the don't ask, don't tell policy, and this has been bubbling up in the last few weeks. They had, in fact, a bill was introduced 2 weeks ago to essentially allow gays and lesbians to be open in the military. So it's been a big topic in Washington. The Chicago Tribune asks him, hey, you are the top uniformed officer in the country. What do you think? And then he was defending briefly the don't ask, don't tell policy, but in that defense is when he said, I cannot see the military allowing this because it would be allowing an immoral act.
Well, first of all, is that even? I mean, regardless of how one thinks about his statement, we'll leave that aside for a moment. Is it even proper for him to be weighing in on whether or not he thinks private behavior is moral? I mean, in this, he's basically on the job in this interview, right?
Right, that's right. He's representing the military.
And so it seems like, and, you know, it's like if I ask you such a question, you're usually very graceful about not giving in to my attempt to beat personal observations out of you. It seems like if he's on the job, he ought to just keep that to kind of talk to himself.
Well, what's interesting is that's what he says himself. Is he's trying now today to sort of back up, really put some water on this fire that came out of these remarks. And he's saying, I shouldn't have talked about my own personal opinion. I should have just stuck to supporting the policy. And he's not apologizing for what he said, and we didn't expect him to. He's known as a man with deeply held beliefs, and we didn't expect him to apologize for saying that homosexuality was immoral. But he is now trying to backpedal a little bit and say, well, I shouldn't have given my personal beliefs as a head of the military. I should have just talked about the policy. Yeah,
maybe he and Tim Hardaway can go start a softball league or something somewhere. So this is... Now, am I wrong about this? Because it would seem to me... I mean, it seems to me that there's all of this discussion I've had that we did. This, and this is my opinion. I'm not going to ask you to weigh in on this because, again, I know that you're on the clock, and so it's not a thing you're going to do. But I'm going to say, if anybody.
For you, right?
No, I'm just saying. I don't mean. I am not expecting you to affirm this because this is my opinion only. I'm saying. If you really want to know, it's just the price of idiotic bigotry and how this is a prejudice really just does have. And I'm not trying to be like, I'm not trying to give like a PSA or anything. But if you really want to know why this ends up just effing everybody in the long run, it's because we just talk about how we don't have the troops to fight in Afghanistan and Iraq. God forbid there's some other war that starts somewhere else. You know, we're told that every so often the draft gets brought up. They're raising the age of enlistment to 43. Well, maybe that's because they just decided to turn away scores of people because they're gays or lesbians. True that we had that a bunch of these people they've kicked out of the military for being gay were actually Islamic interpreters?
I think less than 50, but considering that we have very not many Arab speakers in U.S. government, that's really a large number.
It seems like at some point the government's going to figure out that they're just sort of tossing away a valuable resource here that could be usable.
It sounds like, you know, that's not the Pentagon's priority right now. It seems that the Pentagon is very satisfied with the don't ask, don't tell policy, that walks this fine line as well as they can do it, as they feel like they should do it. But you're right, there's a lot of outside groups who say this is ridiculous. They say that, in fact, we've heard this in some hearings, why aren't we using these people who have skills that our country needs? They want to serve our country, and we're not allowing them to because of their sexual orientation. It does come back to, you know, even though Peter Pace is backing down now and saying, I wish I'd talked about the policy, his words were really dead on. It really does come down to a morality issue. And it comes down to the fact that our military leaders and, in fact, Congress and the White House either don't want to discuss the morality of homosexuality or they think it's immoral and they want to leave it as it is. And those who disagree are speaking up, but there hasn't been enough of them to overturn, or you can look at it the other way. There's been more voices the other way who say, no, that we don't want to openly accept homosexuality. So it is a moral issue.
It's good that our priorities are in the right place. I got two questions real quickly. One is, I mean, it sounds like a dumb question because it is the government themselves, but is it even legal to discriminate based on that orientation?
Many people are surprised, I think. Well, it depends on probably where you live, but it is completely legal to discriminate in any place, including in the workplace, against someone for being homosexual. It is legal to fire someone because of their sexual orientation. It is not considered a protected class. And many gay rights groups, of course, are saying that it's long overdue for it to be a protected class, but it is not right now.
Really? Is that true? I guess, I don't know, I guess I must have fallen asleep in a cave or something. It's 2007. It really seems like we ought to have our act together there by now.
Yep, you can fire someone for being homosexual.
Well, fantastic.
But you have to prove that they are. Then you get in some tricky court cases there.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see that on. It's like when Tom Cruise said that he was prepared to go to court to prove that he was not gay. That's a trial I want to go to. I want to see that. And my second question is, so is this? I mean, isn't the military worried that if somebody doesn't want to go to Iraq, somebody doesn't want to go to Afghanistan, that they just call up their commander, and go, oh, and yeah, I'm gay, by the way, so I'm not gonna be able to go to Iraq. Bye.
I hadn't thought about that. The Clinger defense?
Well, seriously, I mean, I'm not to sound flip about it, but right. I mean, if it seems like if there's any number of guys in the military who feel that the Iraq war is misguided or they don't want to go or just for whatever reason, this right. seems like a pretty easy out.
Well, then that ends up on your record, so you'd have to decide if that's worth it for you. You know, and of course, military, many people in the military say the argument isn't just one of morality, but of this idea that when you bunk together in the military, you're bunking with people of your same sex, and that if there's that sort of overt or even if there's any sort of fear of any kind of sexual advances, that it would change things when you're there. Other people say that's not true, but that's another argument there. And I think if someone were to say, I'm gay, so I want to leave the military, you wonder how that would affect them personally, too.
Yeah, I guess all of that would hold a lot more water if it wasn't the same kind of garbage as they were peddling about black guys 50 years ago. So that's just my observation. All right, Lisa, I'm going to let you go, sister, because you sound like a neat little red knot. You sound fantastic, but I want to give your vocal cords rest.
Okay.
Really, you ought to ask him about getting a cough button, though. You could use one of those.
All right, I will.
All right, feel better, and take that NyQuil no later than 9 o'clock.
Oh, man, no kidding.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay.
All right, there you go. That's Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. She's fantastic. Kind of a Lauren Bacall thing going on today with her.
That was pretty mean of you to just keep her on for like 20 minutes when she's not.
You know what?
So
she's
hot.
A pro. She's a pro. She can do it. And I believe she has a good time on the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay.
She sounded, even today, she sounded great. Despite the fact, or possibly because of the fact that she was high. All right, not really high, Tyler, in case you're listening. 503-733-2970. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Jesse, you're on the... All right. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
I have a question.
Yes, John.
Can we get the good stuff over in Vancouver?
I'm sorry?
NyQuil with pseudoephedrine in it?
I don't know. You know, we've had this conversation a few times. We're never able to get a straight answer about this, that I do believe...
I'm driving over there now.
Okay. I do believe at this point that in Washington, and maybe if we can get... if we can get a definitive answer from somebody who lives in Vancouver on this, because we always, as many times this has come up in every cold and flu season, this issue comes up, and now again, and Sarah pointed out, the human body is really designed shoddily. And as Lenny Bruce said, I guess you take that up to the manufacturer, but this idea that you just get out of cold and flu season, and you got like a week, and then you bam, right into allergy season, which is where we are right now, my whole face feels like it's going to fall off. And then you get a week off, and then you're back into cold and flu season. As many times as we've had this conversation, we have never been able to get a definitive answer on this. So, in Oregon, to buy anything that works, basically, anything that contains pseudoephedrine, you got to get a prescription. And then you got to go, and you got to stand in line, and then some nitwit in a lab coat gets it for you. In Vancouver, or in Washington State, I want to know, if you want to buy real Sudafed, that is, that has pseudoephedrine in it, is it prescription? Is it on the shelf, or is it behind the counter, or some combination of the three? My second question, and this is for a law enforcement agent, if there is someone from law enforcement listening to us, and I know there are, I want to know if it's legal to buy that in Washington and bring it into Oregon. If it's illegal in Oregon, is it legal to buy it in Washington and bring it here? That's what I want to know. So, John, as we always say, be listening, and we'll hopefully get the answer on the air.
Good deal. I'll go find out, and to all law enforcement officers, I'll be coming down the I-5 bridge, so don't be looking for me on 205.
Thank you, sir. Well, I'll try to divert them.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That's John. Fantastic. All right, 503-733-2970. Oh, we got a break in just 1 second, but I think we have the answer here. This is... hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, it's Jesse in Vancouver.
Hey. Okay, you're in Vancouver, so what is the deal?
Well, you know what? I actually just had that super flu that everyone was getting.
Yes.
I went to the store. I went up to the pharmacist. I told them I wanted the good stuff. They gave it to me. I left.
I went home with
pseudoephedrine in it, and it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
This is in Vancouver.
Yes, it is in Vancouver.
Okay, so this...
I'm just going to buck up and do that next time because I'm tired of being sick for weeks on end.
Well,
there isn't any real medication.
And because that Sudafed PE doesn't work. It doesn't work at all.
That's got a phenylephrine or whatever it is, and that's not near so good. No, now you can get this up. You just got to give me your license, sign your name, promise you're not going to get the kids or whatever.
Yeah, that's not creepy. So in Vancouver, it's still behind the counter.
But
it's
if
not
you
on
give your license and they see you're an Oregon resident, can you still buy it?
Oh, that's a good question, actually.
That's a good question. I'm not an Oregon resident. I don't have an Oregon license, so I can't answer it.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
You bet.
All right, there you go. That's a really good question. If you go to Washington to buy that and you have to show your ID, which is just creepy in any event. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the first time in Oregon when I had to do that. I mean, it really is amazing how quickly this has changed. Like a year and a half ago, you could just buy anything you needed. And then I remember I went there one day and suddenly I had to put my name in the book, which is creepy. And then now you can't buy it at all without a prescription. And so that if you go to Washington and you have to show your ID to buy pseudoephedrine and it shows that you live in Portland, will they even sell it to you? Or do you have to, like, solemnly swear, lie, that you're not going to bring it to Oregon across state lines? Because that seems like it would actually be a felony. If you're actually conspiring to commit a misdemeanor, that's a felony. And this seems like it's... okay, well, we got a break. We'll figure it out when we come back. Tim Riley around the corner at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbarger, Top 5, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Yeah.